Chapter 4 Ranald paused to rub the dull ache in his lower back. This and many other minor pains had been plaguing him increasingly as the strength of the dragons lessened and their protection waned. It would be a terrible loss when they were gone completely. The beauty they had created here in the midst of Shinzan's destruction was a wonder to behold. Thankfully, he doubted very much that he would be alive to see it finally crumble. He could feel Maitre. Her power had continued to grow. Soon she would be as large and strong as her years would have naturally made her had she not been cursed. Her voice was the only company he had known for hundreds of years, and now, once again, she was all he had left. A sigh slipped out. He hadn't expected to miss the others as much as he did. Though they had been irksome at times, and definitely filled with the ignorance and stupidity of youth, having company under his roof had assuaged his loneliness and banished the nightmares of his past. He stared up at the ridge leading to the shore. Every day he came here, always hoping that this would be the one when he at last caught sight of an approaching ship. But thus far, the only signs of life he had spotted were the Syrian looking at him with their cold eyes, an open reminder of the blood debt he owed them. He scratched at the spot on his chest where the dagger had struck. For some reason, their presence always made it itch. The top of the ridge seemed higher and more difficult to reach today. Of course, he could always levitate himself, but then he would end up almost as weary as if he climbed using only his aging legs. Besides, any magic he used these days was being drawn directly from the dragons. They needed every ounce of strength they had left to hold on without him diminishing it. He glanced over his shoulder. At least the way back home was mostly downhill, and he could always stop to rest beneath an apple or pear tree if he wished. It was still early, and the air was cool and dry. A short nap and a quick bite to eat might well be a good idea. A sudden tingling sensation in his head quickly dismissed this thought. It was a warning. Someone was nearing the docks. He wouldn't be able to identify the arrivals until they actually crossed the wards, but they were close enough for him to know that someone was there. New life entered his tired limbs as he ascended the rise. When the shore at last came into view, his instinctive reaction was one of pure elation. A dwarf vessel was pulling in alongside the dock. But his elation faded as quickly as it formed. Awkwardness and anxiety took hold instead. He had rehearsed what he would say 100 or more times, but now that the moment had finally arrived, he could not form a single sentence in his mind that even made a scrap of sense. "Old fool," he muttered, now uncomfortably aware that he had not changed his clothes for several days. Those he had on were covered in dust and stains, and he knew he must be reeking of body odour. But it was too late to do anything about that now. The dwarves were already on deck and tying their ropes to the dock. Ranald strained his eyes. There was no sign of whom he was waiting for just yet. He could feel his heart thudding in his chest. "Please let him be here," he whispered. It was taking every bit of his self-control to steady his breathing and keep his hands from trembling. A lone human figure appeared on deck, pausing for a moment before leaping onto the wooden planks of the pier. He spoke to the dwarves briefly, then turned toward the rise. Even from a distance, Ranald recognized him. The serious expression Liniel nearly always held, together with his long, confident strides, were unmistakable. The sight of his son transported him back to the last time they had been together, and with it, the almost unbearable pain of leaving him imprisoned and hidden away. They halted when about 10 yards apart, staring at one another in complete silence for what felt like an eternity. Ranald could feel the tears welling, but his son showed no emotion at all. "You had no right," Liniel finally said. Ranald did not reply, but tentatively moved closer. By the time he was at arm's length, he was weeping openly. Liniel remained still. "Why?" he pressed. Just tell me why you betrayed me, and why you betrayed your own brother. I know you must hate me, Ranald told him, wiping ineffectively at his eyes. But that was a price I was willing to pay to keep you alive. You let your brother face Shinzan alone. You would have died as well, or worse. I did what I had to do. And of all the things I have done in my life, this is one I shall never regret. You are alive, and here. For me, that is enough. A spurt of rage appeared in Lineal's eyes. You have no idea what I would like to do to you. How angry I am. He paused, his hands balled into fists. But after a few seconds, he visibly relaxed and his voice calmed. As I crossed the ocean, all I could feel toward you was fury, blind fury. But now that I am actually standing in front of you and can look into your eyes and hear your voice... His features softened. This was all the encouragement Ranald needed. Unable to contain himself any longer, he threw himself across the small space still separating them to embrace his son, his tears renewed. Lineal stiffened at his touch, but after a moment returned the embrace. Come, said Ranald eagerly. I have food and drink prepared. Now smiling, Lineal allowed his father to lead him by the hand. Once within the confines of the wards, he slowed to examine the lush surroundings, a stark contrast to the barren land he had seen on the other side of the ridge. It's exactly like the countryside near our hunting lodge, he remarked. Even the trees are the same. Ethan told me that the dragons had done this, but clearly you must have had a hand in it as well. It's their power that sustains it, Ranald explained. But I guided the creation. He pointed ahead to where the cabin was coming into view. Even my home should look familiar. Lineal laughed. It does, indeed. It's just like the lodge we built together when I was 13. Yes, and as I recall, you were none too happy when I didn't let you use magic to assist us. Lineal gave an exaggerated moan. Don't remind me. My back still hurts just thinking about it. But the hard work made you appreciate it all the more, did it not? He cast his father a sideways frown. No. And if you remember, Mother wanted to throttle you for making me do it. Ranald chuckled. Yes, she always detested physical work. She said it was improper for a mage to perform such mundane tasks. Dwarf work is what she called it. He glanced over to Lineal. You have so much of her in you. Is that why we fought so much? He gave his son's hand a light squeeze. Perhaps, but it wasn't your mother's influence that bothered me. It was your uncle's. Lineal's tone immediately hardened. Praxis was a great man. My brother was a great mage, he retorted. But as a man, he was rash and arrogant. Ranald could see the displeasure growing on his son's face. The boy had admired his uncle so much, even saying once during a heated argument that he would rather have had him as his father. I loved Praxis, he said. But when he enlisted you to join him against Shinzan, he did not enlist me, Lineal cut in. I joined him willingly. I know, and I wanted to kill him for allowing it. He stopped to face his son. He could never love you the way I do. He sent his own son off to safety, yet wanted to take you with him to certain death. Lineal squared his shoulders. Had you not betrayed me, we could have defeated Shinzan together. This drew a derisive laugh from Ranald. You have no inkling of what you are saying. Shinzan is not of this world. Surely Ethan has told you. His voice trailed off, and he let out a sigh. In my joy over seeing you again, I haven't thought to ask if Ethan still lives. He lives, They resumed their walk toward the cabin. "I'll tell you all that I know, but—" A tiny smile crept upon Liniel's lips. "But only after you've washed and changed your clothes." Renald laughed, though it was one shaded with more than a touch of embarrassment. Leading the way into the cabin, he poured his son a cup of wine before gathering a bundle of fresh clothing and setting off to the lake. He reflected on events along the way. The meeting had gone much better than he dared hope for, though problems clearly remained. Even when Liniel smiled, he could still sense the anger boiling just beneath the surface. His son truly believed that had he been with Praxis, together they could have changed the fate of the world. But at least that anger had now been diluted to some degree by love. It was a small comfort he was more than happy to accept. The boy was so much like his mother. Her death had cut them both to the core. They had hunted down the Rakasa that had ended her life and tortured it for days. But in spite of their efforts, the creature had never made a sound, fueling their rage to an even greater pitch. For a short time, Renald had wanted to charge off to do battle with Shinzan as well. But destroying one of the Emperor's emotionless fiends, a thing unable to experience any kind of real suffering, was no salve at all for the intense pain he was carrying. Only the death of Shinzan could remedy the hole in his heart. But all those thoughts ended the instant he looked at his son and saw his wife's eyes staring back at him. At that precise moment, he knew what had to be done. Liniel was all that was left of her. And in spite of his rage, should he face Shinzan, he would surely perish. The possibility of seeing this happen with his own eyes was too much to bear. Imprisoning Liniel was the only answer. Praxis had claimed to understand, though his real judgment was clear in his expression. Betrayed. That's what he really thought. But then, hadn't he done all he could to ensure his own son's safety? He had seen to it that the dwarves would take Lady Illyrian and their child in, even if they never actually made it that far in the end. By the time Renald returned to the cabin, it was fully dark. The scent of a fire told him that Liniel had found the stew he was planning to heat up for supper. His son was sitting at the table with hands folded. "I won't be staying long," he said. Renald sat across from him, searching for the words he wanted, needed to say. "Yes, I understand. That I am able to see you one final time is more than I should have hoped for." Liniel cocked his head. "Final time? So you still think Shinzan will defeat us?" "I don't know. I hope not. Ethan is strong. If anyone can save Lumnia, he can. But I will never live to see it."
"What are you talking about? Of course you will."
Renald gave him a thin smile.
"My time is at an end, son. I've only held out this long in the hope of seeing you again. Now that I have, there is a debt that must be paid. Besides, every day I remain alive, I am drawing from what little strength the dragons still possess."
Liniel was visibly shaken.
"There must be a way to save you."
"I am not in need of saving. I have lived for over 500 years, and I have become old and weary. Now that you are with me, I am ready to rest at last."
Liniel threw back his chair.
"No, I do not accept this. You can't just decide to die. Not after everything that has happened. I won't allow it."
"Please, calm yourself. I don't want our last hours to be filled with anger and sorrow. For the first time in 5 centuries, I am truly happy."
With a growl of frustration, Liniel turned away.
"So this is it? You waited around just so I could watch you die?"
He flashed a furious glance over his shoulder.
"Still a selfish bastard."
With knees cracking, Renald rose from his seat and moved closer, but Liniel refused to face him.
"Yes, it's true. I am selfish. I should have ended it the moment Ethan and the others left. But I had to see you one more time. Please forgive me.
Ranald had only seen his son weep once before, the day his mother died. The stifled sobs he could now hear coming from Linnell tore at his heart. Yes, he had been selfish. There was no doubt about that. He had allowed Maitre to remain cursed simply to stave off his own loneliness, and now he had brought Linnell here to watch his father die. Why? The answer was obvious, and it made him deeply ashamed. He was afraid to do it alone.
I should not have waited for you to come, he said. You must leave in the morning.
More than a minute passed, during which Linnell's sobs gradually subsided. Eventually, he turned back toward his father. Any trace of anger or sorrow on his face was now gone, replaced by an expression full of determination and resolve.
Whatever you are about to face, I am your son, he said, and I will stand at your side.
Although unaware of it, Ranald had been holding his breath for at least 30 seconds. It now escaped in a long sigh.
Thank you, he said, retaking his seat.
But before I say more, please tell me what has been happening with the others.
Linnell recounted the events as told to him by Ethan. At first, Ranald was overjoyed at the news that Lady Illyrian still lived, and that Praxis's spirit had not been destroyed after all. But his joy quickly turned to anxiety on realizing the danger Lady Illyrian was facing, now that Praxis was no longer able to influence Shinzan's emotions. Once his son was finished, Ranald sat quietly for some time, absorbing what he had been told. That Ethan had fought Shinzan, and, like Praxis, had been able to destroy his physical form was encouraging. But they still needed more. Without discovering the vital key of how to destroy the Emperor's source of power, any further attempts would ultimately fail.
Don't trouble yourself over it, Linnell said,
seeing the deep furrows in his father's brow. Reaching over, he squeezed the old man's hand.
There is nothing more you can do, and I do not want what time we have left together spent worrying over things beyond your control. I would rather hear about you and your time here.
As they ate, Ranald spoke of his arrival and early days in the Dragon Wastes. They continued talking after their meal, leaving the cabin and strolling at a leisurely pace through the meadows. Eventually, they ended up back at the shore. Ranald told the dwarves who were waiting aboard the vessel that they were welcome to gather as much fresh fruit as they could carry, an offer they eagerly accepted. By the time the sun was sinking over the horizon, they found themselves on the banks of the lake. Ranald did his best not to show the fear that was steadily building inside. Only his son's presence prevented him from falling into absolute despair.
When I am gone, you must not tarry here long, he said. My wards will no longer protect this place, and the foul beasts marred by Shinzan's magic will have nothing to keep them at bay. You still haven't told me why you must die, Linnell pressed.
Tears were now welling in his eyes.
I understand that the dragons have sustained you, but surely there is some magic that could give you the strength you need.
Ranald shook his head sadly.
Many mages have wasted their lives searching for such knowledge.
He took a seat on the ground and waited for Linnell to join him.
There is a natural order to things, son. Nothing is meant to endure forever. Not even the dragons can boast immortality. And even if such a power did exist, I would refuse it. Not that it would make a difference. As I said before, I owe a debt, one that I must pay.
A debt to who?
There was no point in evading the question. Ranald told him of the Syrian and their encounter with Lailanora.
I had no choice, he concluded. They demanded payment.
As he finished, tears were once again running down Liniel's face. But this time his expression was not one of pain or anger, but of deep pride.
I'm sorry, he began. I'm so sorry that I said you are selfish.
Renald chuckled softly.
Why, you were right. Believe me, if it was possible to back out of my bargain now, I quite likely would. The thought of giving myself to the Syrian.
He shuddered.
I have always feared the ocean. Are you certain there is no other way?
I gave the oath of Incatinio. There is no way back. A lengthy silence followed, during which Renald felt Liniel's arm wrap around his shoulder. It gave him courage. He looked up at the half-moon peeking out from behind the clouds. It was cool, and the breeze pleasant. A good night. The best he could remember. A nod to his son signaled that it was time to begin the inevitable. The pair of them rose together and started back toward the shore.
Yes, a perfect night, Renald considered.
To wait any longer would invite indecision and crippling fear to return. With each step he took, regret filled his heart. How much time had he wasted on frivolous pursuits? Time that would have been far better spent with Liniel. Never before had he regretted being born a mage. Now he wasn't so sure. Had he been just a normal human? Yes, his life would have been greatly shortened. But it would have been a short life dedicated to loving his family. Not even immortality could be worth more than that. Aside from all the heavy responsibilities, a mage's life was a constant search for acquiring more personal power. Now, it all seemed so petty and sad. As they crested the rise, the gentle lapping of the waves upon the shore reached his ears. The dwarves had returned from the orchard and were lazing on the dock, passing around a bottle of wine. While descending, his eyes remained firmly fixed on the ocean. He could already see the head and torso of a Syrian, silhouetted in the dim moonlight. "Remember what I told you, son," he said. "Do not linger." Liniel simply nodded. As soon as they arrived on the beach, the young man positioned himself defensively in front of his father and faced the waiting Syrian. By now, six more had appeared. Their expressions were unreadable. "Do not blame them for this," Renald told him. "It was my choice. And, frankly, it is a better death than slowly withering away to nothing." He closed his eyes and was immediately able to hear the whisper of their voices beckoning. There was no malice in their call. In fact, as he allowed the enticing sound to pass through him, he found that any remaining fear was gently being eased away. Legends of the Syrian song luring sailors to their deaths had been told for thousands of years. Now he fully understood from where they had sprung. With each passing second, he felt an increasing excitement to follow them into the depths. The ocean had now become a place of eternal rest, rather than something to be feared.
"Father,"
Liniel's voice brought him back into the moment. He touched his cheek and smiled.
"Farewell, son."
Without another word, Liniel threw both arms around him, holding him close in a lengthy embrace. At long last, Renald felt complete. All of his past sins were now unimportant.
"Come, rest with us. It is time."
The voice of the Syrian was like a tender song coming from a mother's lips. Backing away from the embrace, he took hold of Liniel's hands.
"I wish I had something to say, some advice, or something to give that would help you in the times ahead. But I don't. All I can offer you is my love. It's all I have left."
Liniel swallowed hard.
"I love you too, Father," His response drew a warm smile from Renald. Don't worry. Ethan will arise victorious. I was never sure of this before, but somehow I now know it to be true. Just promise me one thing. Live to see his victory. Your ancestors await, but there is no hurry for you to see them, or me. I promise.
After kissing his son's tear-soaked cheek, Renald turned toward the waiting Syrian. Yet again, their song filtered its way into his mind.
Welcome. Come to us and rest.
I'm coming, he responded almost silently.
The water was warm and soothing as he waded in. Once it was up to his chest, two of the Syrian eased up beside him, each one placing a hand on his shoulder.
Peace.
The reassuring voice was joined by the sound of tiny bells and gentle laughter. As the water finally covered his head, he could feel his spirit beginning to drift. Little by little, the ocean faded away, as did his Syrian escorts. It was now the welcoming call of his ancestors surrounding him. He glanced down at his hands. They were no longer wrinkled and scarred. Once again, they were the hands of a young man. Renewed strength and vigor flowed through his limbs. Far ahead, Renald could see a lone figure standing beside a massive oak tree. He was smiling and waving enthusiastically. Despite the distance between them, Renald recognized him instantly. It was Praxis. His voice carried clearly on a warm breeze.
Welcome home, brother.
A rush of emotion surged through Renald.
Yes, he suddenly realized. That's where he was. Home. All the troubles of his life had been left in the past, where they belonged.
A mist formed behind Praxis. A few seconds later, a long line of smiling faces emerged from this to greet him. His thoughts turned to the dragons. It was because of them that this was possible.
Thank you,
he whispered, then hurried forward to join his kin, reveling in their love and acceptance. Still weeping, Lineal fell to his knees. He cursed himself for being angry. He'd had no right to question his father. Guilt stabbed spitefully into the pit of his stomach for all the times he had wished for Praxis to have sired him. Praxis had never loved him the way his father did. Yet for years, he had never realized this. Now, it was too late. He looked up toward the dock. The dwarves were all staring in wide-eyed amazement at what they had just witnessed. After calling for them to make ready to depart, Lineal set off toward the cabin. His tears were dry by the time he stepped inside, though the intense pain of his loss was something he knew would not ease for a long time still. Straight away, he set about searching through the old man's belongings, placing aside a few odds and ends he remembered seeing in his study when he was a child. When he came upon the sketchbook, he ran his hands carefully over the worn leather cover for several seconds, before taking it over to the table and opening it. Each page brought long-forgotten memories flooding back, along with deep emotions. His father had taken great pleasure in capturing the likeness of family members and places he was fond of visiting. Lineal had once thought it a ridiculous way to spend one's time, an opinion he no longer held. Most of the drawings were of himself and his mother. Several were of the places his father had taken them when he was still a small boy. That was the time before Lineal had begun refusing to join him on these outings, choosing instead to spend time in study or with his uncle. The distant howls coming from outside made him realize that he had been sitting there for longer than he should. The wards protecting this place were now gone. And if what his father had said was true, this would be an open invitation to the creatures who dwelt beyond. As quickly as he could, he gathered together the few items he wanted to take with him and found a cloth sack in which to put them. On leaving the cabin, he immediately spotted more than 20 deformed, hound-like beasts stalking toward him from the direction of the lake. The large creatures halted in a group only a short distance away, teeth bared and jaws dripping saliva. A sudden rage filled Linil's chest. Placing the sack of his father's possessions on the ground, he spread his arms wide as if in invitation. The creatures rushed in, their hideous blood-red eyes all fixed firmly on their prey. But Linil was no ordinary victim, a lesson he fully intended to teach these beasts. He raised an arm. With an ear-shattering crack, spears of blue flame appeared overhead and began raining down upon the charging pack, bringing it to a sudden halt. The hounds scattered, but there was no escape. Each time one was struck, it was instantly consumed. Within seconds, only a few remained. Linil made quick work of these, lifting them into the air inside a massive whirlwind, and then crushing them with a coil of green magical energy. He wished there had been more. The fury building inside him needed to destroy anything Shinzan had touched. The pity, somewhere deep within his heart, he knew he should be feeling for these wretched beasts, was overcome by his blind hatred for the one who had created them. As he bent down to retrieve the sack, a series of howls had him jerking upright again. He grinned viciously. "Come on, then," he whispered. "I have more." Ready as he imagined himself to be, he was totally unprepared for what came into view a moment later. From over the next rise, literally 1,000 or more of the creatures appeared. Like a vast swarm of ants, they streamed their way down, their intent clear as they turned toward the cabin. There were too many, far too many, for him to have a hope of overcoming. Letting out a feral scream, he began shooting bursts of flame and daggers of ice indiscriminately into the approaching horde. It was a futile gesture. Not even his rage could stop the massive tide of beasts speeding toward him. In moments, he would be overrun. Seizing up his precious sack, he cast a short traveling spell. A full-fledged spell would have taken him much too long, but thankfully he only needed to get as far as the shore. Just in time he was airborne, though only high enough to avoid being torn to bits. The foul creatures leapt repeatedly, their massive jaws snapping mere inches below the soles of his boots. Fortunately, the spell carried him far faster than his pursuers. In less than a minute, he was standing at the end of the dock. The dwarves were already on their feet with weapons out.
"What's all the commotion?" demanded one.
"Cast off now," ordered Linil.
The dwarves hesitated.
"I said now!"
His urgent tone was enough to jerk them into action, and not a second too soon. The engines had only just fired and the ropes dragged aboard when the beasts crested the rise. Forgetting all caution, the pilot slammed the vessel into reverse, very nearly causing three other dwarfs to tumble over the rail. But haste was most certainly necessary. They were barely 20 yards out to sea when the beasts surged onto the dock. Any closer, and they might well have been able to leap across the gap. By now, the pilot had turned the craft toward the eastern horizon, but there was no need for haste any longer. None of the would-be killers appeared to be interested in entering the water. Instead, they settled for howling and snarling hatefully at the escaping group. Linil glared back at them with equal hate until the coast was barely visible. The dwarves were on deck as well. Finally, one came up and asked,
"What were those things?"
He regarded the dwarf silently and then turned toward the cabin door, shaking his head. His anger was too great for speech at the moment, as was the pain of losing his father. The thought of such disgusting demons desecrating the home of Renald Dragonvane was almost enough to make him turn back. Given a little time, he knew he could conjure spells of such ferocity as to obliterate them all. Praxis had taught him well. That would be a futile gesture, though. It was Shinzan who had turned them into the monsters they were. He focused his mind instead on what was to come. Though he had not been able to fight at the side of Praxis, he knew Ethan had no choice but to accept his aid.
With this thought as a salve for his ailing heart, he crawled into a bunk and closed his eyes. His father had taught him that vengeance would blind you. Perhaps that was true, but right now, it was all he had left.